It's Food Friday. Once upon a time, our next guest avoided recipes. She thought serious cooks didn't need recipes. Fast forward a few years, and that cook, Molly Boz, now swears by recipes and makes a living inventing, testing, and retesting recipes until they're just right. Her new book has a lot of recipes that can help us learn a lot about cooking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How did you learn how to cook? Did you rely on recipes or figure stuff out by yourself? What do you find the most useful in a recipe? How do you approach recipes? Cook along the way, read them carefully first. That's the better way to do it, it turns out. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Molly Boz is a recipe developer, author of the new book, Cook This Book, Techniques That Teach and Recipes to Repeat. You may have seen it on a New York Times bestseller list near you. Molly, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
As I mentioned, you love recipes now, but you didn't used to. What did you have against recipes back in the day?
Well, back in the day, I got my career start working in restaurants as a line cook. And so this was way before the idea of working in food media or at a food publication developing recipes was even on my radar. And at that point in my life, being a line cook was a point of pride for me, and it felt as though having to rely on a recipe was indicative of not being on top of my game and needing somebody else to lead the way for me. And so I was really resistant to recipes and was most proud of my food when I would make something just sort of like straight out of my head without referencing anything at all. And I then later took a job at Bon Appetit and started to become a recipe developer. And that's when kind of everything changed. And I realized that recipes are actually incredible because they are the culmination of many rounds of testing and so much research and thought and care. And it's not something to be ashamed of. It's something to be proud of. And so I take a lot of pride in my recipes now because I put a lot of time and care and effort into them.
In your book now, you've got these recipes, and they're not just recipes. Each of them, in a way, is a learning tool, it seems like. And you actually have footnotes in some cases saying, hey, this is why we're doing this thing. Or if it's not working out this way, here's a thing you can do to nudge it in the right direction. Can you talk about how you approached writing recipes so that the rest of us can learn from them, even when we're not using that exact recipe in the future?
Yeah. You know, as I started to write this book, I thought about, you know, what the purpose of a recipe is and where I think that recipes often fall short and how can I turn my recipes into something that really, really service the reader. And I think what the answer to that question was, recipes don't often contain a lot of information that answers the question why. And why is a big question for home cooks. If you're not a professional cook, everything is a why. Everything's a big question mark in the kitchen. And so I wrote these recipes in such a way that sort of anticipated what I think those questions would be on the part of an amateur cook. So instead of assuming any knowledge on their part, I've laid it all out for them. So that's where the head notes kind of come into play, or the footnotes come into play at the bottom. But then furthermore, I've added QR codes right into the book, and those are printed and accessed through the camera app on your phone and take you to videos that are tutorials that I have hosted myself of some of the harder to explain techniques in cooking. So one thing that is very apparent is that cooking is obviously a really visual thing. That's why cooking videos do so well. It's a great way to learn. And so I tried to think about, how can I bring that visual medium into my cookbook and sort of amplify the learning experience for my readers?
We're talking to Molly Boz. Her new cookbook is called Cook This Book, Techniques That Teach and Recipes to Repeat. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Were there recipes, were there cookbooks even that made you a better cook? What do you look for in a recipe? What is super helpful to you? What pratfalls have you encountered in recipes past? Call 800-642-1234. Molly, before you get to the recipes, you give some general rules, and one of them is one that I mentioned earlier and that I've run afoul of before. Read the recipe first. I know one time I was making scalloped potatoes on a deadline, and I didn't read the recipe first, and then midway through, I found an extra half hour of baking that I didn't know was coming, and dinner was very late that night. Talk about the importance of carefully reading the thing first.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel that cooking and following a recipe actually requires a lot of concentration and focus on the part of the cook. And so the best thing you can do to set yourself up for success is to sit down out of the kitchen and read all the way through the recipe to kind of get like an oversight, lay of the land sense of how this recipe is meant to go down. That way, when you're in the weeds in the kitchen, actually in the middle of cooking it, you know what to anticipate next. And it's not the first time that you're learning that you need the onions need to be chopped before they go in the pan. And so it's a matter of sort of like acclimating yourself to the recipe before you even enter the kitchen. And I think that will help eliminate a lot of the stress that novice cooks often feel.
You write that time management and order of operations are a couple of the biggest challenges for non-professional cooks. And I can relate. Like I'm pretty good at my workflow now. It took me a long time to get there. What kind of things should we be thinking about as we manage what to do when?
So one other thing that I've done with the recipes in this book is I've laid out sort of the timeline for cooks so that they don't have to think about that themselves. Oftentimes you'll find recipes where the ingredients themselves are listed at the top of the page, and then there's a comma after each ingredient, and it says, it explains how the ingredient should be prepared. So it'll say one onion, comma, diced, three garlic cloves, comma, sliced. And that very manner of formatting a recipe assumes that the cook knows when to prep those things out. And in my recipes, I have eliminated that and put the prep into the recipes so that I will tell you throughout the recipes, now is a good time to start chopping your onions. And while they're sizzling, we can go back to the cutting board and chop your herbs. And so that's the time management kind of element of things that can really create efficiency in the kitchen.
You have a great checklist in the book. And we've all been in this position, I think. I made a thing and it's okay. You know, it's not great. It wasn't what I envisioned when I started. Can you give us a couple tips on diagnosing that food that's okay in a way that we can fix it up and perk it up a little?
Yeah. So I think the first thing, and if you've ever looked at any of my recipes or heard anything about me, you may know that I feel very strongly about the importance of salt in cooking. And I believe that salt and under seasoning is the number one culprit of kind of lackluster food that's coming out of home kitchens. So the first thing that I would say to any home cook, if they make a meal, they're about to sit down to it, and they think to themselves, this tastes kind of meh, is to check the seasoning, take a spoonful, taste it, add a little bit of salt just to the spoonful, taste it again. And if it starts to transform and to taste really vibrant with just the addition of salt, then you know that you've under seasoned your food. So that for me is the ultimate first step in adjusting a pretty meh meal. And then it goes down to sort of thinking through the ingredients that are in the dish that you're creating and asking yourself, is this ingredient pulling its weight in the recipe? Can I taste the garlic in this stew? If I can't, should I add some more right now? So it's kind of systematically working your way through the flavor profiles that are present in any given dish and considering whether or not they are functioning properly and holding their weight in the recipe. And then the last kind of tip that I think often gets overlooked in cooking is the importance of texture. And oftentimes, you know, it's easy to roast a pan of carrots, but that same pan of carrots can be so much more dynamic if you can add some kind of texture to it at the end. So maybe you have breadcrumbs that are toasted and already sitting in your pantry, or maybe you have some roasted nuts that you can chop up. Adding texture to food is a great way to bring it to the next level. And I think that it's something that home cooks should pay more attention to as they start to craft their own food.
It's Food Friday. Molly Boz is with us, recipe developer, author of the new book called Cook This Book, Techniques That Teach and Recipes to Repeat. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you do when a recipe isn't going as well as you thought it would? How do you fix it? Do you have a question for a professional recipe developer? What do you look for in a good recipe? What pratfalls have you encountered while cooking from recipes? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with recipe developer Molly Boz about her new book. It's called Cook This Book, Techniques That Teach and Recipes to Repeat. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you look for in a good recipe? What throws you off sometimes in recipes? What kind of questions do you encounter? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Martha on Facebook. Martha says, I've made my mother's meatloaf recipe for 30 years. Tried to change some things once and it was not as good. Always make her recipe to the letter. Molly, I was interested in asking you, actually, when can we feel free to experiment with a recipe? When should we do what Martha does and follow it to the letter?
So my kind of philosophy on this is you should always follow a recipe strictly, like word for word, the first time. If it's the first time you're encountering that food, that dish, important to trust the recipe developer and let them lead the way for your first round. Once it comes to the second and third time and you feel like you have a good handle on how to execute the recipe and what it should taste like, that's when you can start to get creative and start thinking about substitutions and swaps that you can make.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jane is with us in northern Wisconsin. Jane, hi.
Hi. I learned to love reading recipes in law school like 30 years ago. Because if I took a study break and I started to read a novel, I'd never go back. So my aunt gave me a stack of Better Homes and Gardens cookbooks. 1950s, 60s recipes. And you can sit and just read them and learn how things go together and what goes and what doesn't and what you like. And it makes you a better cook. But you're absolutely right. You got to read it before you start. Now I cheat. Recipes I know my family likes a lot, I will print out in blue inside the kitchen cupboard. If you know which cupboards, which recipes are which cupboard, it's real easy to make a meal because you just open the door and there it hangs.
Jade, thanks a lot for sharing that. And she mentioned, Molly, you know, learning from recipes, what goes with what? And you spent some time on that actually in the book before you even get to the recipes. How can we start to get a feel for, you know, what acids go with what meats or whatnot?
Yeah, I think it's really helpful to kind of break down the different flavor profiles that are present in any given dish and start to think about what you're eating in terms of those things. So there's sweet, there's salty, there's bitter, there's umami, there's fatty, there's spicy. So if you can kind of go into, you know, any given meal that you're eating, aware of the flavor profiles that may or may not be present in it, you can start thinking about how to combine ingredients in such a way that makes for really dynamic food. And in my book, I have a whole sort of spreadsheet that breaks down each of those flavor profiles that I mentioned, the sweet, the salty, the bitter. And underneath each of those headers or categories is a list of the most common ingredients that sort of satisfy that one category of flavor profile. So that if you're in the middle of cooking a recipe, and let's say, for example, it calls for honey, and you're like, shoot, I ran out of honey. What can I substitute? you can reference these lists. Go to the sweet category in the list and you'll see it lists granulated sugar, brown sugar, molasses, maple syrup, dried fruit, cooked onion, stone fruit, and so on and so forth. And so you can look around your kitchen and find something that might be an appropriate substitute.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to recipe developer Molly Baz on Food Friday. Her new book is called Cook This Book, Techniques That Teach and Recipes to Repeat. We heard from Eileen in Duluth, who called in to say she gets frustrated when she sees something like 3 cloves of garlic or a small onion. She says those amounts are too vague. She wants more specificity and certainty. And I've been there, Molly. Like, are my 2 small onions the same as the medium onion that the recipe wants?
Yeah, I think that's another indicator of a great recipe is one that will sort of guide you in terms of not only the visuals, but also the weight that you should be looking for, because everybody shops a little bit differently. So a lot of times you'll see a recipe that says 2 red onions, but then it'll tell you, like, once chopped, you should have about 4 cups of chopped onions. And that's a really helpful way to gauge, whether you're shopping appropriately.
You've got a couple of recipes you shared with us. We've got them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. I want to check out at least one of them, and you're going to have to help me with the pronouncer. My French isn't so good. Strip steak au poivre for pepper.
Poivre.
Au poivre. Now I know. Tell us about this. I'm looking at the picture right now, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah. So this is a recipe. It's a classic French dish. It's not something that I invented myself. But it's sort of my take on it. And it is, I'm a huge black pepper fan. I think that a lot of people think that black pepper is sort of only to be deployed in tandem with salt. And, you know, 1 or 2 cranks here or there is sufficient. And that's why I love this recipe, is this is a recipe that's literally all about the black pepper. And it calls for so much black pepper that you get to actually experience what black pepper tastes like. It's not just an afterthought. It's the sort of main event of this dish. And you'll take freshly ground black peppercorns that are coarsely ground and not finely ground and bloom them in some butter, which basically means to kind of sizzle the peppercorns in butter so that their fragrance and their aroma permeates all of it. And then you'll add cream and turn it into this, like, really spicy, but also luscious, fatty cream sauce to pour over a steak.
That looks really good. Again, you can find that online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Another interesting thing about your book, I thought, Molly, was that you organize your ingredients into where I'm going to find them in my grocery store. Can you talk about why you focused on that as part of the convenience here?
Yeah, I think it kind of all goes back to this, like, efficiency in the kitchen conversation and really wanting to streamline things as much as possible for my reader. So if I think about the way that I navigate my kitchen or the grocery store, it's that I'm in a specific kind of department of my kitchen gathering ingredients. So if a recipe ultimately calls for garlic, basil, lemons, and zucchini, but they're not all listed together, then I'm going to spend so much time going back and forth looking for those things, you know, jumping to the pantry for my sugar, then back to the refrigerator for my zucchini, then over here for something else. And so I've tried to organize things in such a way that allows you to move really swiftly around the kitchen and only spend a dedicated amount of time in any one place. So if you're going to open the fridge, you might as well get everything that needs to be in the fridge out at the same time. And that's sort of all part of this philosophy that I learned when working in restaurants on the line, which is that if a great cook is an efficient cook. And so the goal is always to sort of minimize the extra movements and the extra time spent doing anything. And therefore, cooking will really become this kind of song and dance.
In our last minute or so, you also introduced me to a highly technical culinary concept, the word zhuzh, as in zhuzh it. What? Can you give us an example of what zhuzhing is?
Yeah. So zhuzhing is basically a practice of taking a look at what you're eating and kind of asking yourself, like, what's it missing? What does it need? What kind of, like, fun little condiment can I add to this to make it better? I feel like a huge part of good cooking comes down to the condiments and the sauces and the pickles and all the sort of little added ingredients that can really bring something to life. And so Zhuzhing is just figuring out what those things might be and pairing them with your food. So the back of the book has a whole chapter which takes all of the dressings and sauces and condiments and croutons and sprinkly things that are within the book, within the recipes, and collates them all in one section in the back, so that if at any point you're looking to like spruce things up and you're asking yourself, what could I add here to make it better? You can hone in directly on a recipe, a sub recipe or a dressing that you think might make things better.
Molly, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Molly Boz is a recipe developer. We talked with her on this edition of Food Friday about her new book, Cook This Book, Techniques That Teach and Recipes to Repeat. You can still share your thoughts, maybe a cookbook that inspired you and changed your cooking, hopefully, for the better. Tell us about it on the Ideas Network Facebook page.